Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And, man, I am so excited for this one. This one was a fun episode to watch.
This is funny.
But also, I feel like, just in general, in life, why does it feel like it's been so long since I've talked to you?
I was just thinking because I think last week we recorded on Tuesday. And then this week we're recording on Thursday, so
yeah.
We're over a week, which we don't normally do over a week without this. So, but I agree, it does feel like it's been 2 million years. And also,
yeah,
the day we're recording this, it's 1 week until Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And
very nice.
My brain is so fried, trying to get to all the kids, like, holiday things. Yesterday was Scarlett's birthday. We have more holiday things. We're going to Disney in like 2.5 weeks. I just feel like I am surviving, not thriving. And it's a bummer because it's like my favorite time of year. I love Christmas so much.
Yeah.
And I am just like not doing it this year. Like I'm not doing great as far as like the Christmas of it all. Like I've got presents. Then none of them are wrapped. Only the
Same.
Bottom half of our tree
Same.
Is decorated because we just let the kids decorate it. So just only the bottom half is decorated.
If you are listening to this episode when it comes out on December 19th, 2025, and you still haven't wrapped your Christmas presents, just know that you are in good company with both
just
of us here.
If you're doing your best and everything is on fire internally, I see you.
And, yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, that's part of why we're late this week. Yesterday was Scarlett's birthday. Carmen was traveling and his work has been crazy and it's just all kinds of stuff. So we're happy to still be able to get an episode out this week. I don't
Hell
know what
yeah.
we're doing next week because next Thursday is Christmas. So we will
yeah.
address that at some point.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I also, so what's tough is next week, Jess, the Marlowe School is closed all next week.
Mm-hmm.
And Jess works Monday, Tuesday. I also work Monday, Tuesday, but I'm going to be at home with Marlo all day. And then I'm working like 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. to like 1 or 2 in the morning, both days. And then Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. So we might, it's a chance that we don't have any episode coming out in the week of Christmas. Or if we do, it might be like a shortened one, but we'll see.
Just
we'll figure something
watch
out.
The Instagram. That's where we put our updates for everything.
Yes.
I try and keep that up to date on as far as schedule changes and everything. Are you working on Christmas?
No. I'm off Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But then I'm working the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
But then I'm off Saturday, Sunday again. So it's a weird week. It's a weird week. But speaking of Instagram, if you have not followed us, make sure you are doing that. Go to @Grey's Academy Pod and hit that follow button and make sure if you are wanting to stay up to date with both of our lives. Kelsey's going to Disney in a couple weeks at Catically Kelsey. I just got back from Disney this weekend at carmen.gabriel.official. And I got to tell you, the weather out there was just it was just perfect. It was 70 degrees with a little bit of breeze.
Yeah, I saw you guys in like your long sleeves. I was like, oh, I hope it's still like that in 2.5 weeks. God knows it'll be 400 degrees when I'm there.
Well, what's funny is it was the perfect weather where when you're standing in the sun, you're sweating. And the second you move into a shaded area, you're like, oh, it's a little chilly. I got to put my jacket back on. But I got to tell you, Marlo was a champ. We got to Magic Kingdom was awesome. We got a chance to sit in the VIP section for the fireworks on the hub grass, which was really cool. Marlo, like, she was like teetering on falling asleep in the middle of the fireworks, and she just really wanted to fall asleep. But anyways, she made it though. But I do have to shout out our friend Katie. So our friend Katie listens from Canada, and she had messaged me and said, hey, I don't know if you guys get all the Canadian reviews, but I wanted to send them to you just in case. So she sent some of the screenshots here. I'm going to reread all of them. Some of them sound familiar, but I really don't remember. They've all been from kind of a while back, and I just want to make sure I give the proper shout out. So if you're listening to us from another country, and you're on Apple and you give us a review, number one, thank you. Number two, screenshot it and either email Kelsey at graysacademypod@gmail.com. Or if there's no spoilies, feel free to message me directly as well. So this is from 2 months ago. And this is a 5-star review. It's titled Favorite Podcast, but you know it's Canadian because the favorite is spelled F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E. I bet you guys also spell armor with an O-U. So funny, Canada. I love you. But it's from Swift Gray Nurse. Again, 5 stars. Carmen and Kelsey are truly hilarious, and I laugh out loud on my work commute all the time. I have seen Grey's Anatomy probably 100 times, and that is probably an underestimating. I love their banter and running jokes throughout the podcast episodes. It feels like being a part of a family, especially now that I finally joined Patreon. Whoop, whoop. As a millennial nurse who loves Grey's, I feel like I'm sitting with friends. If you guys love Grey's and laughing, give them a listen. No spoilies. This one is 5 stars. Fun and Entertaining Podcast is the title, and it is by Linda Canada 1966. I love listening to this podcast and would recommend it to Grey's fans. Carmen is hilarious, thank you, and hearing his reactions and predictions keep the podcast fun and engaging. He and Kelsey have a nice friendship, which makes listeners feel at home and welcome. Great Grey's content. It is obviously put a lot of work and love to provide this content for us. They think we're friends. So it's funny that there's some people who are like, I love their friendship. And there's other people who are like, are they toxic? Are they going to fuck? Like, what's going on?
We certainly are toxic.
Well, yes.
There's no question.
Yeah. So this one is titled Awesome with 5 stars. And this is from Cags 1970. I have started listening to this a few days ago. I started at the beginning to follow along through season one already. I'm meaning to say how much I love this podcast. Carmen's predictions are sometimes so wild and occasionally right. Thanks, Kim. And then this last one, I feel like I do remember this name specifically, but love this podcast. 5 stars from Sinister Soup 1307. I listened to 5 other rewatch podcasts for various shows, and Grey's Academy is by far my favorite one. I legitimately feel like I'm hanging out with y'all when I listen to each episode. I love hearing Carmen's predictions each episode and Kelsey's reactions, no matter how right or wrong his predictions are, LOL. Some predictions are so wrong, but could actually work, which just makes me laugh harder. Y'all are the absolute best. Keep being you. Yeah, loving my predictions, not making me stay in my own lane. Freaking, what was that person's name? Whoever they...
Watch the show you're talking about.
Just watch the show.
Stop guessing what's going to happen.
Well, which one was that? I want to go back and read that one really quick again. That one just fucking JFM. The title is Style. Watch the show you are talking about and stop guessing what will happen in the future. Your guesses are silly and off base. The fucking point. Just talk about what happened that week. We fucking do. Whatever. I just am waiting for What Is She Hiding to go back and edit. They have not changed anything since giving us 5 stars. I don't want them to change the 5 stars, but I want to know what they, like, I want to know who they are.
Yeah. Tell me, reveal yourself. Okay.
We that was also, a lot. I wanna that was a
send,
lot.
Wait, I have to shout out. Who did I send you earlier?
Oh, Lindsay, our new Patreon.
Yes, Lindsay. Lindsay.
Lindsay!
Welcome to Patreon. Yay.
Woo!
Also, shout out Alicia. She's in Rhode Island. They're all affected by the unfortunate shooting at Brown this week. So we're just sending special love and thoughts to everybody there. And then all of our Australia listeners as well.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All the shootings everywhere. Just fucking... It's the guns! It's the guns! Can we just, like... We're gonna get a review. You guys are too political.
We've gotten that email before.
We have, yeah.
All
of my friends at work are Republicans, and we don't listen to you anymore.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We do have some nice Republicans. I talked to one today.
We absolutely do. Yeah, no, that one was just... And it's just, like... The thing that I see all the time on Instagram when people are like, I'm unfollowing. And then the person says, this is not an airport. There is no need to announce your departure.
Like, yeah.
Fine. I've said it 100 times. If you don't like it, don't listen. That's fine. If you don't like this free thing that we put out every week, don't consume it.
Don't help us by listening anymore. It's fine.
Jesus Christ. Anyways.
Speaking of airport, we love all of our
listeners and our supporters and our Patreons and everybody who reaches out to chat with us on Instagram or email. We love to hear from everybody. So thank you guys. We are grateful for you.
We're also grateful for the haters because you have feelings too, I'm sure.
Happy Easter to all my haters.
Happy Easter to my even those who vote against me. Speaking of airports, I just want to share this story and then we'll move on. But something happened for the first time that I never experienced before. And we were leaving Orlando to come back home and we got this notification that, or not this notification, it was a human who was speaking through the radio, that there was a fallen Marine being transported to his final resting place in Orlando. It's where they're from. And they had two fire trucks on the tarmac and they shot their hoses over and to make like this gigantic waterfall arch. And it was like this veil that the plane flew to honor the Marine and the family on board. And then they had a full honor guard taking the casket and the Marine out of the airport storage and or the airplane storage into his final resting place. And it was very cool to see the guy had said, you know, on the pager, he had said, out of respect, like, take your hats off and we're going to try to keep this very quiet for the family coming off board, etc. So it was just cool to see humanity at that airport specifically kind of like, you know, listening to that. It's a bummer when anyone dies, but it was like weirdly emotional. Like I didn't know the person. Well, they mentioned the person's name, but like, I didn't know their story. I didn't know anything about them, but I think, you know, anytime you're that close to someone who has given their life for our freedoms and not just the freedom to bash a political party or to say stupid fucking shit about Grey's Anatomy on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of things that we try to not take for granted. And, I hope that you out there who listen, who've been listening for 10 seasons worth of the show, just know how much, you know, Kelsey and I care about not just each other, but like our fellow Americans around us. And like, we are at the end of the day, people first. And, you know, there's a lot that's going on. So we're just glad to have you guys here and we appreciate our veterans and those who have served and all that.
Yes. So. It's true. Thank you all. You're grateful.
So let's talk about some bullshit, I guess. Like hard pivot.
Yes. Okay. Let me get my notes up.
Oh shit! I need to get my notes out too.
We're so prepared. Okay. This is the third episode of the 10th season, episode 199 overall. You guys, next week is 200 episodes.
That's
crazy. 200 episode of Grey's Anatomy. And they're just, now they're on four something. Wild.
I don't even know. Also, you said four some.
Or something.
I know.
This episode is called Everybody's Crying Mercy. And that is a song.
Everybody's Crying Mercy is a song off of the album Taken My Time. And that is by Bonnie Raitt.
Raitt? I think she's pretty famous.
Really? I've never heard of this. Yes. I've never heard of this person. Anyways, I don't have a ton of information on this. What I can tell you is this is like very, very bluesy, like folky jazz, like a cool song. And jazz and blues is like not always my cup of tea. I think I can always appreciate it from a music standpoint, mostly because a lot of those artists have a ton of improvisation. But I never heard of this person before. I guess Bonnie Raitt, my bad. If you guys are out there and you're like diehard Bonnie Raitt fans, I apologize. But the album itself, Taken My Time, is the third album that Bonnie Raitt had done. It was released October 1973 off of Sunset Sound Studios in Los Angeles. And the charting on this album was pretty decent. It hit the U.S. Billboard Top LPs in 1973 at number 87 and the U.S. Record World 100 in number 91. The Record World 100 is not one that I've heard before, but I guess it's a magazine. So it's a, I'm looking at it right now. Record World Magazine was one of three major weekly industry trade magazines in the United States with the Billboard and Cashbox, founded in 1946. Oh, okay, cool. The song, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 2 on the objectivity score, and I'm going to give it a 2 on the subjectivity score. It did not make it to my iTunes library. Not a bad song, but, you know, it's a song. So with that, Kelsey, it is a song. Take it away. Let's do the full episode talking about the Greys.
This episode was written by Tia Napolitano and directed
Tia Napolitano.
Directed by Tony Phelan. Aired October 3rd, 2013 to 9.6 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, while Meredith and Derek cope with sleep deprivation, Owen forces Jackson to be mindful of hospital finances, and April waits for her board results. And I would say that's mostly spot on.
Yeah, left actually. Out Alex,
but pretty good. Other than that.
Yeah. They didn't give any spoilers away from Weber, who, like, spoiler alert, apparently wants to die, is yearning for death's door.
I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just annoying. I'm annoyed.
I'm annoyed too. I'm watching this for the first time. How do you think I feel?
It ended last week's episode with him opening his eyes and seeing Meredith and the voiceover going, I know I was right about this. And then in this episode, the following episode, he's like, I shouldn't have picked you. What? What? What is happening?
I wasn't mad, but now I'm mad.
Yeah, but a week later, I'm mad. That. Like, it makes no sense. It's really frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. How did I not even think of that? Now, I really am annoyed, though, for real.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, from Meredith's standpoint, I'm just would be like, hey, wild of you to make me your, like, medical proxy and not run that by me and make sure I'm aware of your wishes.
Yeah.
And but like he just wakes up and he's like, I how dare you let them operate on me when I was almost dead? Oh, so you wanted to be full dead?
That's what I gathered from this.
Like, I just okay. can't.
And what also, now that I'm thinking about this, now that I'm fired up about this.
Now that I'm riled.
I guess just fill out a DNR and yeah. say, do not perform extraordinary measures on me.
Yeah, I truly, it's baffling and I don't get it. Like, I remember that this was the follow-up from last week, so, but I didn't remember the whole thing where he wakes up and he was like, I was right. So when I saw that, I was like, I'm preemptively angry now.
That's hilarious. Yeah, obviously I was not preemptively angry because I have no idea what the fuck's going on. But yeah, wow. I'm annoyed on all of our behalf. Like,
it doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't understand. He's like, I'm not your father. Sorry. Okay. Did she say you were her father? I mean, she did say like you made me your family or whatever. Which is whatever. Take it as you will. I don't know that that's what that means, but.
Yeah, if I say, you know, we're family, Kelsey, your mind doesn't immediately go to, I'm not your mom.
It also doesn't immediately go to, I can't wait to make your medical decisions when you're unconscious.
Yeah. Also, I want you to know that I was going to make a joke and I decided not to. I'm being nice today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It was a good one, though. So, but yeah, I'm just gonna let that linger. Everyone out there, just assume I made a good joke and just laugh to yourself. Go, ha ha ha. That was so funny, Carmen. Yeah. Okay. I'm frustrated and I don't know where to go from here because this has rattled my entire perspective of both the show and this episode, both these episodes back to back.
Yeah. I don't know.
And where is Catherine in all of this?
Yeah, because she
was here yelling,
riled
and now
up last
she's gone.
Week. Yeah, the feeding tube. I kind of had some experience of that at the beginning of the year when my grandfather was in the ICU, and then he had the same thing, like where they show Richard trying to eat the soup and he can't. He had a similar thing where he just like couldn't swallow anything. I don't super know what caused it in his case. Super know what caused it in Richard's. I think with my grandfather, it was because he was intubated for several days. And I think they had said that it was like a typical response. It's just like irritation internally from being intubated. If I recall correctly, that's what the explanation was. But it was
was Weber intubated?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I guess for the surgeries.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know that he was like intubated just like hanging out. I don't know if they really said why.
Because I'm also not fully understanding if it's due to the electric shock, like what I don't understand the healing time on that, but
yeah.
You also, wouldn't they have, like, as he was in the coma, would he not, or he was, like, post-surgery, I guess they wouldn't have just done the feeding tube right off the bat. Like,
no,
that's not just the standard to do it as
I
they wake up.
When you're unconscious, they don't do that because I don't know that your body, like, will process nutrients the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, when they had to do it for my grandfather, I just remember it was, like, it's just like a lot of moving pieces at once because like they give you electrolytes and they can give you quote unquote like sustenance, like enough to keep you alive, but you're not getting like nutrients the way you are if you have like a steak or whatever high protein stuff.
Oh fuck, I want a steak.
Right. And I remember this whole thing where they were like, well, we need to, you know, he needs to hit all these milestones to be moved out of ICU, and one of them was a bowel movement. And he was like, I can't eat anything. What am I supposed to shit out? And I was like, this is a fair question to which I do not know the answer. So they did do the in the nose feeding tube. That was brutal.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that. I gotta tell you.
Because he was awake. Like, you're awake when they do it.
Yeah, that to me, I hate. It's like doing the eye surgery. I'm like, just everyone knock me out. Like, I don't want to be around this. If I got to do something with my eyes, that's
I told you about the other
measures.
One, right?
DNR. What?
Vasectomies.
Oh yeah, no. Oh boy,
you're awake for it, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm good now. I don't think I'm gonna get one. I was gonna get one. I don't want to get one now. is Michael all cleared up?
We're waiting for the secondary results, since the first ones were not cleared.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the interesting thing about this this storyline. So they're back in the hospital. The interns, they've run. Shane ran off to the mudslide to do something.
Yeah, we got no follow up on that.
This has been, I think, a week now is what we're led to believe, right? So no follow up. There's no accountability. Shane clearly
is
doesn't
keeping the secret.
He had one throwaway line where he's telling the story. He's like, "I'm not gonna let another one of us die." Like. Is that your guilt? Like, is that where you're feeling the shame and the guilt, Shane? I don't know, but I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna stop. I'm frustrated now. You've ruined my entire vibe. I'm so upset. give us like the rundown of the beginning of this episode with let's talk about Weber first, the Weber of it all.
Yeah. Okay. So Richard obviously last week survived his multiple surgeries and the back and forth with Christina and Miranda about like who needed to do what. On heart versus his pancreas, I think was necrotic.
Yes.
And so there was that back and forth last week. So we did it. He wakes up at the end of the episode. And then this week, the issue is it's been a week. He's obviously can't eat anything. So he is losing weight and it's harder for his body to heal or recover from also just the overall, I almost said shock of the injury. And I realized that is in poor taste. I was not trying to make a joke. The trauma of the injury of being electrocuted. And so he's not really able, like if you don't eat, your body can't get well. There's just only so much you can do, right? And his body's already been through the trauma of the initial injury and the trauma of the back-to-back surgeries and like the heart issues and then the necrotic pancreas and all this other stuff. So all of his numbers are bad, but he's refusing an NG tube, which is where they put the feeding tube up your nose and then down into your tum-tum. And so he doesn't want that. They don't really ever explicitly say why he doesn't want it. I guess they're like, oh, he's gonna like feel weak or I don't know.
He wanted to waste away and die.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, should we call psych down here? Are we on,
well,
you know, like, are we trying
to do
this?
They got swept away in the storm.
So true. And so
they went with Shane out into the mudslide and they never came back.
He is saying no. Miranda is not fighting him at all. Shane is trying to push back, but he's being shut down. He knows that Meredith will agree with him. So he's trying to call Meredith in off of maternity leave. And there's just like a lot of back and forth. And then Shane finally, you know, Miranda and Meredith are looking over the labs. They're talking to the radiology tech about the swallow study results. And finally Shane's goes in there with the tube and he's like, bro, you need this. You know, you need this. We all know you need this. They don't want to push you, but someone's going to have to push you. And I think it would save everybody a lot of embarrassment if you just let me do this now. And honestly, Shane might be a murderer, cool. But I think that was the right call.
Yeah, you know, he murdered one. He didn't murder a second, and that's, you know, fine. That's his prerogative.
I guess he's making up for it, so it's fine.
Yeah. At that point, though, like, just keep the streak going, you know? Like, do your thing. Like,
everyone in the basement must die.
Yeah, we need balance. One man, one woman, and then figure it out after that. So here's the most shocking thing that happens. If you're not going to make the joke, I will. Yeah, it's that reveal at the end when Meredith is there. Well, she comes in and Bailey's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Fair question.
And then when Bailey's like, Shane, I know it was you who fucking called Meredith and did all this shit. Like, who on earth would do this? It was you.
And he's like, yeah, it was me because you're doing a bad job.
Yeah. When Bailey and Weber are ganging up on Shane, it was funny.
Yeah.
But like, also, you guys grow up. Come on. Like, lives are at stake. But, you know, Weber obviously, you know, doesn't care. So when they get in and she's in the room, she puts her hand on, I think, his arm or his leg or something. And she's like, you know, sorry, I haven't been around. I'm sorry I wasn't there. So it's a week that she hasn't been by. She hasn't been by in a week is what I'm being led to believe. I don't know if you're interpreting that differently. But, and also, it's worth noting, Derek and Meredith are really having a hard go. They are not sleeping.
You know what? Relatable.
Makes sense.
Like, this is one of the most relatable, like, just, we'll get into it when we get to the Derek and Meredith storyline, but like, the relatability of this is so, so accurate, so on point. So I'm like, if this is not written by a parent who's lived through this, I'm shocked.
Yeah, no, for sure. While I'm talking here about my issues with this scene, do you have the receipts for what Weber said at the end?
Yeah, because I pulled it up because I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, hell yeah. Or if you have it right now, go ahead and read it. Yeah, yeah.
So
I'll get my thoughts afterwards.
Meredith comes in and says, I'm sorry, I know I haven't been here. You picked me as your family. And he says, stop it. Stop it. I didn't call you my family. I'm not your father. I chose you because I thought you could put emotion aside and make the right call. I knew Bailey was too weak, but you, I thought I could trust not to let them operate on me when I was all but dead, not to bring me back to a life where I have to get my meals from a tube. I thought you wouldn't be sentimental. I was wrong. I chose the wrong person. Also, why you gotta throw Bailey in there and like shit on her?
Yeah. Just
damn,
catch
dude,
Bailey's out
off.
Here catching strays. Like fuck.
So uncalled for.
Which, speaking of, I don't remember where I saw someone use that reference, but it is not my favorite reference all like to just say now. Like people getting thrown under the bus when they're not even involved with the situation. I love just saying, man, they're out here catching strays. Unfortunately, I'm usually the one who's catching strays for no reason, but it's fine.
It, so.
Oh, okay. I think I just said for no reason, but it's fine. let's everyone go catch a stray from capitalism and then we'll finish up this. We'll be right back.
If you're listening to this podcast, it means, like us, you also have a true appreciation for medical dramas and primetime TV procedurals.
And that's why we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called the One Chicago Podcast, and it's the official exclusive behind-the-scenes look at some of the most iconic TV series on right now, including Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. The podcast comes from the series creators themselves, Wolf Entertainment, the folks also behind Law & Order.
Each episode joins host and former Chicago cop turned Chicago PD producer Brian Lucci as he's joined by the actors, producers, and writers behind the epic One Chicago universe, including a chat with the showrunner of Chicago Med, Alan McDonald, about what it really takes to keep a medical procedural show as real as possible.
Now, we checked out a few episodes of the One Chicago podcast, and here's what we thought. No spoilies! You've heard it, you know it. Listen to the One Chicago podcast. Search for One Chicago podcast in your podcast app. That's One Chicago podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
And we are back. Hopefully no actual strays.
It is raining so hard here.
Oh, it's not. It was ice raining
it's
earlier.
Not it's snowing. It's
nice now. I actually pulled in to my driveway yesterday, and I had to call 911 for my driveway because there was an exploded water line. A water line across the street had exploded and it was gushing like a geyser.
Oh my gosh. Was the water like freezing onto the road? How cold
was
it?
It was,
I don't know how cold it is.
It wasn't that cold yesterday. It was like in the like high 30s, low 40s.
Okay.
But that's the problem. It's when everything freezes at that low temperature and then when it thaws, the water explodes. But it was like all over the street. But when I pull in, I call 911. I called 411 first, and it didn't exist. So I don't know if 411 isn't a thing anymore. But I called 911, and I was like, "They're like, 911, what's your emergency?" And I was like, "I should preface, I don't know that this is an emergency, but I'm calling anyways." And they're like, "What's your address?" And I'm like, "Okay, this is intense." And by the end of the conversation, they're like, "No, you did the right thing. We're actually all already aware of." The situation and Public Works has been informed, and don't ever feel bad, calling us if you know you're not sure. And I'm like, I don't think I want to call you anymore. I'm just gonna get.
Have you ever called 911 before?
Batmaned. I had to do it when I was at Disney quite a few times.
So I couldn't even tell you how many times I called at Disney. So many times.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively when I was in the parks. Guys, you gotta hydrate. You cannot just
keep
going
drink
into
water,
the park. You're gonna pass out, and then I'm gonna have to be calling 911.
Yeah. Only like maybe two. One time my old roommate went into diabetic shock overnight.
Ooh.
And the only reason that I was able to save his life was he like used all of his energy to slam his hand on the floor and yell my name. I came upstairs, I grabbed orange juice, put a scoop of sugar in the orange juice and gave it to him, and he overcorrected the other way, and the firefighter was like, "Why would you do that?" And I was like, I, he He told me to. I don't know. I was asleep. I don't know what you want from me. He's alive.
Where was this? I don't remember you having a diabetic.
In Chicago when I was living. This was before I moved to Florida.
Well, yeah, obviously. Your diabetic roommate wouldn't be your wife. She's not diabetic.
Or Gabe.
Also true. You didn't have an upstairs then, so.
Yeah, that's true. What were we talking about before this?
When you have called 911.
Oh, call 911. Yeah. Anyways, so Weber's alive, and he is a dick. And given he's sending strays, shooting them out, hitting Bailey. What's your take on the actual scene itself? And then what's your take considering that last week he said, I made the right choice. And then here I'm realizing he's saying, I made the wrong choice.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, was this an intentional choice by the writers? Cause it still doesn't track for me. Because the thing with last week is it was a voiceover.
Yeah.
So like it just didn't, you didn't have to do that. And I don't like how aggressive he's being with like, I'm not your father. Okay, she didn't say you were. You have acted that way a lot in the past. So
especially there's one episode in particular where you were her father.
Yeah. The weird one that no one likes.
I fucking love that Carmen. Episode. I want to watch it right now.
We're busy. And also there's no, when they were going back and forth trying to decide what to do last week, there wasn't like, oh, by the way, if you do this for sure, he's going to be on a feeding tube.
Right. It wasn't malicious.
The feeding tube was not a guaranteed side effect. And again, when you make someone your medical proxy and you don't have any amount of conversation with them about what it is you want, you're just going to have to deal with whatever they choose. That's true. On great you, point. Richard. Like, you don't the need to only, be a dick. Ha, Richard.
Great. The only thing that I could see maybe is the reality of the situation is when he came to from the electric shock, he's like, oh, I made the right choice. I'm so glad to be alive. And the second they mention he needs a feeding tube, he's like, oh, I made the wrong choice.
I'd rather be dead.
And what? I'd rather be dead than get a feeding tube. So I don't know where his head's at. That's the last thing that I could think of with this. There was, again, it's a vessel for Shane to like try to keep him alive. And he's the reason that Derek and Meredith get to the hospital. Well, Meredith gets to the hospital and then Derek shows up afterwards. So I don't know. It's a weird. And we do get that scene where when Bailey's like, what's in your hair? And Meredith is like, it's fucking vomit.
Baby vomit.
Bro.
She goes, are you in pain? Yeah, I'm in pain. It's called sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Again. So
true.
Real.
So true. This, well, is there anything else that you want to talk about with Weber? With Dick?
I think I just want to reiterate, I like the scene with Shane where Shane's like, dude, you gotta get the fuck over it and let me put in this feeding tube because it's going to be unpleasant if Bailey or Meredith has to do it.
Yeah.
And I like that he was the one who did it.
He's like, you don't know me, bro. I'm a nobody to you. These people have known you for years. It'll feel embarrassing for you. Mm-hmm. They're going to say you're a little bitch boy behind your back.
Yeah, they're going to point and laugh at you, so... Let me do it.
Does anyone else out there in the listening world, please message me if when you think of someone pointing and laughing, you think specifically of the old man in Austin Powers. Like when his dad didn't show up, there's this old janitor guy laughing at him, both when he was a kid and as an adult. Anyways, it's just, that's what I think of. So if anyone out there listening to this episode is like, oh yeah, that guy, daddy wasn't there. Go ahead and hit me up. All right. So
are you okay?
Derek and, Derek and Meredith, give us the synopsis on their life right now.
Okay. Callie's still there, which is fine. Supportive, honestly.
And kind of funny. I like the three of them together.
Very funny. Very funny dynamic. Callie, they're kind of helping each other out. Very like village. It takes a village of everybody. Especially since Meredith can't really pick up the baby because she's had the multiple
crazy surgery.
And also sleep deprivation. I mean, when Derek comes back from getting milk and Meredith's like, why were you gone for an hour and a half? And he's like, I closed my eyes in the parking lot. I'm like, that is so real. When she falls asleep on the bathroom floor on the phone, so real.
With the shower running. Yeah.
When Derek comes in and says he's hungry and my nipples are of no use to him, so real. You men and your useless nipples. I'm sick of it.
Speaking of nipples, Meredith is like, she at one point, what does she say? Was it to Bailey where she's like, oh, she's talking on the phone to Christina before she falls asleep in the shower. And she's complaining to Christina about Derek. She's like, where the fuck is my nap? And when she says my boobs hurt and my nipples hurt and they're covered in lanolin, all I can think of is that scene in Anchorman when he goes, what's her name? Lanolin, like sheep's wool. Is that what lanolin is? I don't know what the fuck lanolin is. What is lanolin?
Lanolin is like something that you can put when you are breastfeeding. It is something that you've likely never done before when it's the first time you do it, just like anything else in life. And sometimes it can like really be difficult and like can rub your skin really raw and like you can blister and peel and bleed on your nipples. But you can't really like be putting lotion on it because it's like the baby has to eat. So lanolin is one of a very few things that you can put on it to help it heal that's not like dangerous for the milk or for the baby or anything like that.
Well, did you know that
much care for
lanolin is a natural waxy substance secreted by sheep's skin?
I did not know it was from sheep's skin. I knew it was fucking waxy because the first time I went to put it on, I was like, because like in my mind, it was going to be similar to a lotion. Because that's what I thought would be helpful. And it was not. And I did not care for it.
That's funny.
I didn't use it much.
Yeah, it's extracted from their wool after the shearing. And it's what provides the waterproofing and the conditioning for the fleece.
Nature is wild, you guys.
Yeah. But if you're thinking about lanolin, go watch Anchorman. Anyways. Continue.
Okay. So, yeah, they're tired. And then at some point, Derek puts down the baby and Meredith goes, is he asleep? And Derek says, no, he hates sleep. Also, and okay, the what baby did they say? Is I like didn't realize. Maybe less they said than 2 years old.
I mean, 2 years. Yeah.
Sorry, 2 weeks old. I'm like.
Definitely less than 2 years.
Definitely less than 2 years. I think less than 2 weeks. If you can put a baby down and in like a crib or a bassinet at 2 weeks and they just vibe, I'm envious.
Yeah.
Not happening in my house.
Yeah. And at one point, I think they, I don't know who says it, but they say, I don't know how such a little kid can puke on so many things.
That was Wyatt.
It's very funny. Oh, Meredith says that.
Yeah.
That's right before she goes to the hospital, which is also funny because when she gets there, Bailey's like, you have staples in your body. And Meredith is like, I am a surgeon. I took them out. Like, what do you want from me?
Literally. Yeah. Wait, there was something else that Eric and Meredith said. Oh, no, he hates sleep. He's staring at the mobile. Are you asleep? No, nobody's asleep. Are you asleep? So it's so real. Just takes me straight on back to the newborn stage.
That's one thing. So like your kids are closer in age to than Marlo is to nothing. And I'm then Marlo is to zero babies. But I will say
to a hopeful future baby
will be to a hopeful future baby. And I will say it's interesting because Jess and I will look at other babies. I sat next to a baby in the Frozen Ever After show, a week old baby in the Frozen Ever After. And I'm like, that is insane, but okay. And the baby slept through the whole thing. Pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah.
But like, man, but I don't, like, I'm so far removed. I don't remember anything.
Sleep like 20 hours a day. That's why I'm saying, I'm like, I can't be putting the baby down in a crib because they're just always asleep. Like, yeah, they're not going to sleep through the night, but they're going to sleep through most of the time.
Yeah.
They're just going to also wake up a bunch to ask about the boob. But,
which is what I do too. I wake up a lot and I ask about the boob
specifically. And so, like, we, tomorrow, Wyatt will be 8 months. And we just got her to sleep through the night this week.
Wow.
So for 8 months, I've been waking up every 3 hours.
Mm.
It's been
big.
Rough. It's been
rough.
And so
did I send you?
I'm seeing you tell I'm still tired, even though she's just started sleeping through the night. I'm still tired, guys.
You know what? I love those reels, those meme reels where it's like they'll ask a question and they just use the first line of a song.
Yeah.
Right. Like when I think there's two that stands out. It's one is that song by Fun.
Some nights I stay up.
No, the other one. Just give me a second. I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the
bathroom getting
whatever. So the question in the title is like, what did Cyclops wish for? What does a Cyclops wish for? And the first line of the song is give me a second eye, and they stop. Like, that to me is so funny. And this one that I saw the other day, I'll have to see if I can find it. I'll forward it to you, but it's I forget what song it is, but it's like, honey, why are you calling me so late? It's like one of those. It's like Creed or Nickelback.
Yeah, and Sheryl Crow, maybe. Anyways, maybe. I know what song you're talking about.
But the question is like asking bees what they do all day, or asking bees what they are making all day, and it's honey, and it stops. But it's like the whole beginning intro of the song. And it's the music video. It's this stupid. I have the worst fucking humor. I'm on one tonight. I'm so sorry.
Garmin's
I haven't pulled Pokemon cards in a week and a half.
I tried to buy you some.
I know. But I didn't need those ones. I did tell my friend that story. And he's like, oh, I'm so glad she put them back. So that person can go back and get them later.
Because I was in the birthday aisle. I was trying to find a birthday like pin for Scarlet. I was just like staring, like looking around, seeing if I would miss it. And it was like behind a bunch of like paper plates. I was like, what is back there?
Fucking like, Pokemon cards.
And then I even scanned them. And they're listed as out of stock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should have just kept them.
Well, that felt wrong.
No.
I doubt
you're
someone
them
bought
to me.
Them.
It's a present.
And then put them there.
So I don't know that I have any other comments about the Derek Meredith thing. Although there was that opening scene where they're getting ready and Derek is like, oh, you're a goddess. And she's like, and yet my WIFE still sleeps around. And I'm like, damn, get her.
Yep. And then he says, what are we going to do when she fixes her marriage and leaves us? And Meredith's like, I think we're pretty far out from that.
Like, yeah.
Jesus.
She's going to be here for a while.
Brutal.
You know, Meredith,
the
eternal optimist that she is. Well, they don't hate each other. One of them hates the other person.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, goodness. That one's a tough scenario in general. But what I like about Meredith in this episode is it's used as a gateway into the Christina and Owen thing, which still is a thing, but not really
but at
a
least
thing.
They
I don't actually understand
touch this episode.
No. No, didn't touch
Thank
at all.
Thank God.
Progress, right? Yeah. Give us the updates on that one.
Well, last episode, Christina and Owen mostly broke up, but then kept having sex because they were like, this should be our last time. No, this
they
should be
didn't
our last
mostly
time.
Break up. They mostly no, fucked.
This should be our last time. And then they were like, we can't do this anymore. And then this week they didn't do it anymore. So at least there's that as a win. They almost did, but they didn't. They held strong. And so, yeah, Christina and Meredith are just like talking at each other about various problems. And then Christina, the resolution is Christina going, we both have no self-control. So to make sure we don't have sex again, let's date other people. Which I'm like, what if you just, I mean, you should get over each other. And it feels like dating other people is a normal step in that process. But also, too, just don't sleep together anymore.
Yeah. It was, yeah, every time Christina was around him and, like, went to go, like, I think the first time, what do I have this? They're
like looking at the giant hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And Owen's stressed out and Christina goes to like touch his arm. And they both are like, oh, we mustn't touch.
Normally I would touch your arm here and then we'd go bone. And he's like, normally I would kiss you here and then we'd go bone. Yeah. And yeah, just like keep your, just don't touch, guys. Just if this is what it needs for us to get you guys fully broken up, then just don't touch.
Yeah. Now, what I do love about this storyline is we get the ever underrated duo of Christina and Alex, and all of their interactions are incredible. Starting with at the beginning of the episode, Christina going and getting in Alex's bed while he's asleep. And she's like, I can't sleep. I'm too bored. And she's like, I miss Owen. He's like, don't even think about it. And she's like, oh, you fucking wish, bitch. And then he's like, why don't you try the internet? And she says, for porn? And he's like, no, you dumbass, for dating.
That was funny.
Just a lot of funny back and forth. And then Christina being like, well, why aren't you guys ever sleeping together? And Alex is saying, oh, her friend died, so she's sad. And then he lets it slip that they haven't actually had sex at all yet. And then Christina, you know, I think we're going to have a new segment called Would We Make This Joke Today? where Christina says, is Joe actually a man? Does she have a secret penis? And I just don't know that we would be making that joke today. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm taking it the wrong way. I just don't know that one would be thrown out as willy-nilly.
I don't know.
I don't think it's malicious, but I just think it's one of those things where I'm like, would we say this joke now? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I like this segment though. Let's keep calling out. Yeah. That's 12 years ago. Can you 12 years ago, we were in our 20s.
Yes, thank you for that math. We were in our 20s.
Oh, woof, man.
That's 2013 is the year that I moved back to Florida permanently. It is the year that I met Michael. It's not the year that I started dating Michael. Started dating him the next year, but I met him in 2013.
I met Jess in 2010, I think. 2010. That sounds right.
Wild.
Yes. Anyways, so it basically comes out with them that Alex is trying to be kind and understanding and empathetic, and Joe is refusing to make the first move. And really, we get down to the C word, which is communication.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lapse in communication.
I think what Alex says in the surgery with Christina is important because he's like, I just want it to be special because I've had, you know, all of these one night nothings with just like girls who meant nothing to me. And I want this to be different. And again, yeah. Incredible Alex and Christina moment. Christina's like, okay, can you braid my hair now? She's mocking him relentlessly.
Yeah.
For having emotional depth. And so, you know, it's just fun to see the growth from season one Alex to now, even to earlier now. Season nine Alex.
Yeah.
And so that scene is funny.
Where she's mocking him, mm-hmm. and she's like, oh, it's, I think it's something about he's like messing with his hands, and she's like, no wonder you can't have sex. And he's like, oh, I can have sex.
And then everyone sweet
little Bokey. Yeah. Sweet little Bokey makes an appearance, and she's just like, I'm not touching this one. Like, I believe that you can have sex, Alex. I'm not messing
with
you.
If HR existed, man, I'll tell you what.
Yep.
They'd be so fucking busy.
And then that's when Christina is like, yeah, I'm not making fun of you, but when we're done, can you braid my hair? And it is really just so funny. It's so funny. Yeah.
But then in the same surgery, she's like, just do it. Like, her being Joe is what makes it special. Like, her being this person is what makes it special. The act doesn't, like, need to be this, like, big deal. You guys just being together and wanting to the same things and being able to be together with each other is what makes it special.
Yeah, Christina had a really great dialogue here, and she mm-hmm. said, you have the right girl, you have the right time, you have, like, everything is right, and you have it, just do it, stop being scared. And then she brings it back to the family, which is, like, it's the guy with the heart, and I like that this storyline, I mean, it's kind of short, but it's the metaphor for, I'm assuming rain is hitting
thunder.
Your house or something.
Thunder.
I didn't even
wild.
Hear
wild.
So, yeah, she's like, the family isn't scared. They're doing, like, I'm doing this because they asked me to and because mm-hmm. I can. Also, you win. This kid does need another heart, but also fucking throw her over your shoulder, take her upstairs mm-hmm. to bed, and just go to town on each other. And when Alex is like, oh, every girl's dream, clearly this is what she's wanting, mm-hmm. Alex. Yeah. So, just.
Yeah,
get out there.
I agree with the communication aspect
sex.
For sure. Especially when it comes to, like, sex for the first time in a relationship. I definitely think if you're having any, like, they're just kind of like talking around each other, you know, and like,
yeah.
oh, well, I can do this. Oh, I can do this. Whatever. And so I definitely think communication is important in general, but specifically around consent and
yeah.
expectations in a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
But anyways, it seems to work out. He scoops her up and she's like, thank God.
Yeah, that was really funny. And there's the scene in the supply closet where he walks in on her and she's practicing and she's like, you know, it's fine. Like, you can kick my friends out. And he's like, no. They could stay as long as they want. Like, I'm a good guy. And she's like, I wish you weren't. Yeah. But also, then the opening scene, the first thing we see of Joe is basically her butt right in front of Steph, which is, like, great, you know, whatever. And she's like, this is the last pair of hot girl panties I have. And then everything else is granny panties. So he needs to smush me.
Terrible Joe impression.
I think it was spot on. I felt like I channeled my inner, whatever her name is.
Well, Camilla Luddington is British, so you definitely didn't do that.
Is that her name? Emily Luddington? I only have one more granny panties. Terrible.
I need to really only warm up have into it. One more granny panties is what you just said in the world's worst British accent.
Oi! That's just Roy Kent.
I love him.
I feel like I owe all of our UK listeners an apology.
Yeah.
It's not good. I'm not good at it. And
sorry,
if I am going to do one,
I'm not good at them either, but that is why I shan't be doing one.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a really good Chicago accent. I'm doing it right now and you can't even tell. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so anything else with Alex and Joe and Christina? The patient that they have, I found the end of that storyline interesting because it's kind of unfinished in a way. Like they go back and forth at the top of the episode. Like Alex is like, we shouldn't do this procedure. You should just put him on the transplant list. And they're like, no, they want to try this. Like they know the risk. They want me to do it. I can do it. They do it. Christina practices, you know, she's a good surgeon because she gets to a point. She's like, it's like, I cannot continue, right? If she continues, it is not salvageable. He would not survive. So she's like, well, we tried, but he has to go back on the transplant list. And then afterwards, when she's talking to the parents, they're like, you can be upset and disappointed, but like when he wakes up, you have to make him understand that being on the transplant list is good. Otherwise, like he's just going to die. Like he's not going to have the strength to wait if you guys are like basically thinking it's going to be a failure. So I thought the ending of that was interesting because I feel like that's not normally how they end things on Grey's. They normally either just, oh, yay, we fixed it in surgery, or, oh, they died.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is open-ended, but hopefully we don't see them in the next episode. It's fine. I'm okay with the storyline being over. But yeah, it's basically the rallying of, hey, I tried, I did everything you asked, but like, we're not going to fucking push it. And you parents have to be the emotional support this kid needs now. It's on you. Yeah. And I know they talk in this show a lot. They talk, I think, in a couple of the medical shows a lot about how the mental and emotional side of things mm-hmm. can play into patient recovery times and like mortality rates and stuff like that. So I like that she called that out and she's like, get your shit together. You can be sad now, but get your shit together. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, for your kid, for sure. So did you have anything else you wanted to say before we take a little break? See,
I think I'm good. I might have more to say later that I forgot, well, I'm good for now.
Count on you having more to say later.
I might be done.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out soon after everyone's favorite segment.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.